Hello, and I am Natasha Venter, and I am here for you to be you. So I know there's not anybody here right now because I just clinked on to the live, but I just have this exciting news. The exciting news is that I am now changing the name to the podcast. And I didn't expect to do this right this minute. I was thinking actually doing it at the first of the month, but hey, everything is meant to change. And the hello with the spring fall solstice, equinox. It's an equinox. Regan will be here in a few minutes. We were just on the phone. It's the equinox energy is kind of wonky right now. I'm hoping that everybody's doing good. So this is now, I've actually changed up my website. I've actually changed up the name of the podcast. I'm actually changing up the wording. I'm still me. I'm still doing this, but there's the clarifications that I needed. And guess what? My website now is intuitiveclarifications.com. Still in the works of negotiating. So if you type in intuitive clarifications, Google is still starting to recognize me, changing my name up. Still having troubles with that little bit of funneling in from old angelic clarifications into the new name. It's something that's in the works. Mercury retrograde's energy, I can tell, is already here, being really wonky with us. But I wanted to say that thank you very much for being here. And there's Regan. And Regan, I'll let you in just a minute. But my new podcast name is Intuitive Clarifications with Natasha. And the theme is going to be, how can I help you open up to new knowings? And that's going to be part of this, is because I want you to hold on to your truth. But yet at the same time, though, there's perspectives that we can change up because this is the year for change. And so Regan and I are going to be talking about today about sabotaging. And here he is. So welcome to the old podcast, new name, but same intentions, but cleaner information about how to get there.
Yeah.
Well, hi, Regan.
Hi. Yeah, I'm in my
Oh,
van.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you. Oh, wait a minute. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. There we go. It's me. Now say something.
Yeah, now can you hear me?
Yeah, because I had off my because I was dealing with YouTube and stuff like that, so I had that clicked off. So I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for putting up with me for a second. There again. It's not necessarily always Mercury retrograde, but it's me too.
Yeah. No, I like Natasha. You're always fine-tuning things and making things better,
Yeah.
which like I had to, my whole website's all brand new now. So, and that was just, I've just kind of led there. Like my friend that was on Coast to Coast 2, the one that was saved by the dolphins, the miracle there. And she saw my website, the new one that I'd done that I did myself, and I was really proud of it. And she just shook her head at a lot of the stuff. And I go, what's going on? So her web guy, she arranged to, if anybody needs a good web guy, this guy was amazing. His name's Jason. And he'd put together a new website, and it looks like I'm in the big time now. I mean, it's done so professional.
Wow, I hope he was reasonable.
Yeah, he well, it cost me about, he would have normally been about 3,000, and he did it for me for 1,500. Because I was your friend, and made him give me a good deal on it, and he was good to work with, and he's been making changes. But yeah, now I'm set for probably the next, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, because things still change,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're talking on a lot of our shows about how to handle change, and some people go kicking and screaming, but nowadays change happens almost daily. I mean.
Exactly. And almost like this, like I didn't know I was going to change my domain to intuitive clarifications.
Yeah.
But I was changing up. I was looking at changing up. There's something not right about the name of the podcast. And so I was thinking about changing up. And then all of a sudden I saw intuitive clarifications, and then it hit me intuitively. Oh, I'm supposed to change my website. I'm supposed to change my website. And now that everything's folding together, Intuitive Clarifications, and now I can use it. Because Angelic Clarifications felt good for my website, but it didn't feel good to bring it in to other places.
Intuitive Clarifications. I like that.
Yeah.
That's better. So, you know, that'll be good. So, did you already introduce yourself?
I kind of did, but I'm Natasha Venter. I'm an intuitive medium. Yeah. I am one who enjoys helping people through their grief. It's not enjoyable, but in the sense of it's my life calling, I should use those words more, because I try to bring a life purpose to why we are here. And so with that, and then Regan, you know, it's like, I get so like, you know, we used to do a show together. So it was so used to having this conversation. Not everybody knows that we used to have a podcast together, the Dance of the Soul. That's what you can find on my YouTube channel. But Regan has been along. We did it. Well, now this is almost year three that we're together here of doing this. And Regan Forreston is he's a gifted hypnotherapist. He works with the Newton Institute. He has studied under Diane Cannon. And Veronica says, I love you two together. thank you, Veronica. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing so many sessions lately. I'm just like, I'm getting in my stride right now where I'm not overworking, but, I work as a researcher with the Newton Institute, and we found a way, a protocol to help people get into a really deep state of relaxation or trance or hypnosis, whatever you want to call it. It's a state that almost everybody can do with a little patience. And we found a way for people to go visit the afterlife. So it's like having a near-death experience without the death part. So they get to spend a couple hours over there, and it's just amazing. It kind of allows people to see what mediums see, you know, because mediums, like I said, with Natasha, she's just has this natural ability with, she doesn't even have to be in a deep state of trance or whatever. She can connect with the other side, but the rest of us mortals here, you know, we have to get, it's nice because then people, I think when people have these sessions, they get a bigger sense of what it's like to be a medium, you know, they're seeing their guides and people that passed on and everything too. So, but I also been revving up doing more of my regular hypnotherapy practice. So anybody out there that needs help with fears or phobias or PTSD, anything that's creating a lot of anxiety in your life, as an energy medicine practitioner, energy psychologist, has some great modalities that work really good with getting rid of a lot of that stuff. But that's what Natasha, like a lot of people come to you to just try to help you to, you know, help make sense of their life, right?
Yes.
And you can help them. You can see stuff from past lives that maybe have caused, or maybe it's a continuum problem they have.
Exactly. And that's part of this conversation about sabotage, because it's not just us in this day-to-day world of this physical body that we're in this time. I know I was sabotaged by lifetimes of contracts that I was under. I always felt like, I felt like I couldn't get my head above water, or I felt like I was in a small room and I couldn't stand up straight, you know, and I just felt like I couldn't get anywhere. And here there's that I cleared, or I had help clearing that. And I was like, holy crap, there's a big sabotage that was gone. I helped my kid who felt like there was a hex on her, that, you know, she's like, Mom, I just feel like that I've been, that I have this curse on me. Well, I was with a friend when she texted me that, and I had her text up and I did some energy work, cleared it. And I said, texted her and I said, think only positive things right now.
Yeah.
Think only positive things. Within just even days of clearing that, literally a day or two, her old boss texted her and says, I want you back for a job. She was going through a whole year of managing this and couldn't get a job. And then all of a sudden she did this. And so there's a lot of the energies this year are immensely blessing us to do a lot of this clearing that we've been held back on.
I agree. I think so. And what that means is people are clearing, you know, like doing spring cleaning in a sense, getting rid of old stuff they don't need anymore. It's opening up all these new possibilities for people for, you know, moving them, you know, like jumping forward even more than usual in their life, you know, to be, you know, I would say in their spiritual unfoldment.
Yes, know? Exactly. Exactly.
A lot. Just look at the whole, it's like, all you have to do is look at the politics and the world situation, and you can see we are in a huge change right now with all these wars going on and with the Democrats and Republicans and things. I mean, it's spirit is coming in like a tornado and spring cleaning, you know.
It is. It really is. And it's amazing how, like, I'm just getting hit. I didn't do two things before I came on today. I didn't change my name on my thing here.
Oh.
And then there was something else I was supposed to do before I came on, and it just hit me that I didn't do it. So I apologize that I'm doing all this, like, it's like, oh, I didn't do it. So now it's not angelic clarifications, it's intuitive clarifications. But, you know, it's one of those things. Yes, we're really cleaning up. And that's one thing that I'm noticing, like, if like the war over in Israel area, I'm just going to call it the area, you know, Pakistan, or, you know, that whole, not Pakistan, but that whole region. And I'm sorry if I don't have the full name. I'm tapping in different energies here. So names don't always come out clearly out of my mouth, and I do apologize for that. But, you know, that if we can take that energy of war and put it into, you have your space, you have your space, we honor each other's space. It's amazing the healing that can happen. And that's the opportunity we have this year, is for a lot of healing towards things. But there's so much of our old 3D world that we want to keep that doesn't work anymore. Yeah. And how can we manage this new knowing and this new story of us if we don't go in and look at things a little bit more insightful?
Yeah. Yeah, we're having to do that. Yeah. So, yeah, well, like, I say with clients that come to see me, self-sabotaging is usually one of the things, besides a number of other things, but it seems to be a human trait, when people self-sabotage. And what I've done it myself many times. I do it.
We all have. It's called being human.
Yeah. But what it is, usually it's, having to come to terms with some fear that I have about, you know, because of change, like, what am I going to have? How am I going to have to change to meet the change that has to happen? You know, like when people lose their job and they have to go out and get another one, like you were talking about, they find all kinds of excuses, every excuse under the rug, you know, mm-hmm. Every, the moon, they say, to not go out and, you know, get those resumes out and do what they have to do. And a lot of them, they have this fear of rejection, you know, like, and some people quit their jobs because they couldn't get along with their bosses or something. So they're afraid, okay, if I put out a resume there, they're going to call my old boss, and my old boss is going to tell them I'm not worth hiring. So you have to, you know, you have to really put yourself out there and be vulnerable to get a job, you know, and it's hard to overcome that fear sometimes. So we'll sabotage ourselves by coming up with all kinds of excuses. Oh, you know, says, you know, oh, I've got to really work on my resume more before I do it. Or, you know, all kinds of things that never seem to get done, you know, before people go and do that. But just, I don't know, you would think making change. I mean, I've gotten forward now to looking forward to change because I've seen it happen enough time that when something changes, life always gets better.
It does. It really does. And that's one thing that I'm noticing, that with me doing this change that I just did, that I cannot see the repercussions of it yet. But I just feel like energy wise, that it's just been opened up for me. And it doesn't mean that angelic clarifications was wrong, but there was something about, there's just something that sometimes when it's like rearranging furniture and vacuuming underneath the couch, and then you put the couch back, it's like, oh, this feels better.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's the thing is that we sabotage ourselves sometimes by forgetting that change does stimulate movement. Like I've been, I have cash all around, but I keep moving it around to different places because stimulation causes stimulation, and I don't want to sabotage myself for doing certain things, And today I'm being a little vulnerable because my kitten, who's now 6 months old, it's like he's first time in this room while I'm working in this room. Cause usually he's been, if you're in this room, I'm going to investigate everything. And so, cause he's been where I am, but today he's kind of like settling down. So I'm like going, okay, I'm going to trust the process here.
Speaking of just a little sidebar, when you're speaking of cats, when I have people on the other side, one thing we found out is that in my clients, they're able to visit the souls of the animals that have passed on that they had, but also they can talk to the animals that are alive in their life now. They talk to the higher selves. One of my clients, the best pet she ever had was when she was growing up was a cat, when she was like 7 or 8 years old. And just about as she's ready to go off to college, the cat died. And that was her first experience with somebody who she was close to that died. So it was very traumatic. It was a pet, but people grieve pets as much as they do people sometimes. So I she's in trance. We get to the other side. She sees her guide. And then just as we're moving along with the guide, her cat, without even asking, the cat just shows up and jumps up and around her neck. And it just snuggled to her the whole time. Through her whole journey in the afterlife, that cat.
Oh, cool.
It was so moving. But I think people watching, if they're pet people, some people are cat people or dog people. But matter of fact, let me ask you, we're just doing a little sidebar for a second. But as far as souls go, cats, I guess it's like, what do they call it? Women are from Venus, men are from Mars or something like that, Well, I think with dogs,
cats are from somewhere else.
They have a different energy, they different language, a different energy, and they get affection differently than dogs do. Oh, there's
this is Rocky. This is my little boy. He chose to be my familiar. I call him familiars.
Yeah.
And I can actually see him when I'm doing readings sitting on my lap. Actually, I got a reading yesterday and he was he was choosing my cards for me. Exactly. Cats have this uniqueness, but every animal, like I have a dog that's more like my familiar for my husband. I call them familiars. They're our soul partners. There's animals that we have that are kind of like they're our pets, but there's some that come in and they just grab on. And I wanted to give this sidebar because you were talking about, your client that had a cat that passed away when she went off to college. And that's the thing that we find sometimes, that the animals will pass on when they cannot carry us through the next journey of their life. My Brody, she went through my first marriage and, getting into my marriage with Rick. And when we moved into this house, within weeks, she passed away.
Wow.
My next familiar, that was Maya. Maya ended up passing away on the same day that my job changed in the school district, which was the beginning of me being able to work less at school and do more with my business, be more open for more hours during my business and bring my business up into this now time frame, instead of having a full-time job that took over my life and then my business was my sidebar. No, my business is my first bar. The school is just something that I do my work in a different language now. And so with that's the thing, is that sometimes we really wish we could carry these animals with us, but they want us to get new animals to help us along. And I can tell you that I waited 5 years for this little boy. I had to learn how to stand on my own 2 feet. I had to learn how to ground myself. I had to learn how to negotiate my own emotions without an animal support. And guess what? Within 6 months of him coming, I changed my website. I changed my my domain. This new year, he came to me at Christmas.
Yeah.
Right before the change coming into 2024 with all these energies. So I'm praying that him helping me go through this. And that's one thing that, and I don't know, we kind of gotten off of talking about sabotage. And sorry about that. But, the universe takes over conversations. And I hope this is helping somebody. But, it's going into this. But that's the thing is that I noticed that during that time when I didn't have an animal, I had to really be careful and look into my deeper self for being sabotaged. Because I was always looking at somebody else to support me. Oh no, I had to look in deep into myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we don't have those supporters, this is my first day that I'm actually, wearing rocks, to help me through the energy, right? That, I have my pocket of rocks. I used to carry rocks all the time with me. I haven't been, but guess what? They wanted to come with me today.
Oh, wow.
They wanted me to be with me physically. And so going into this, that we have things that help us get through our life, but we have to trust the process. And that's half of sabotage.
Yeah.
Is we have to trust the process.
Yeah. It's funny how the stones are. Like, I bought some from oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I can't remember her name at the moment. She's one of your listeners, one of your clients. That does.
Yeah. She does a lot of my word editing. Kathy.
Kathy. Now I forgot what they're all for. I kind of had them memorized for a while. And I have them sitting there, and I have my clients just kind of pick them out sometimes. But that would make another good show, everybody out there. It's like, because I think more people, I used to kind of believe it, but now I really believe it because Michael Katz, anybody listening out there, if they go to gemisphere.com, Michael Katz and his wife went to bed one night and they woke up both out of their bodies with some guides, and they proceeded to tell them that it was time for the world to learn about the energies of different gemstones and what they're uses for and what their healing properties are. And they told them that every few weeks at a certain time they were supposed to go to sleep together, and the same thing would happen, and that's what happened. And so they would find themselves both on the other side, and every time there would be a new guardian of some gemstone, like a guardian of the sapphires, a guardian of the opals, a guardian of the diamonds, and then they gave him a whole dissertation, which Michael would remember, and he wrote this book. It's really thick, but it goes through all the different gemstones and talks about all their properties. If you go to gemisphere.com, that you can order the book from there. But it's fascinating,
It is, and that's the thing is that I always treated gemstones as part of. Is the cure. Not one thing is the knowing. One thing is the helper. Yeah. The rose quartz can help me find and help me find that love for myself by holding it. But I have to do the knowings, the feelings, that inspiration of the mind and the emotions to work through it. And that's the thing is that there's stones out there that can help us through sabotage or those fears of getting moving. Yeah. We can use these stones to help us. But I find that sometimes it's not even the stone. I can pick up a stone off the ground and rub it, and it can give me just as much as like the lapis or the rose quartz or the selenite. And so going into this, but this is the year that I'm just in honor of the energies out there that are helping us to move forward in our life.
Yeah. So I guess you would say the stones assist you in, they don't, but they help assist you or help to get your energy to the point to where you can actually go forward,
Exactly. So, like I'm wearing Snowflake Obsidian, and Snowflake Obsidian is great for releasing. It's a slow release. It's a slow protector. It's a slow. And I used to sleep with Obsidian. You know, I had one that would just sit right nicely. You know, it was about yay big, and it just sat nicely in there. Yeah. But what I had to be willing to do was release or shift or allow that stone to do its work. Because if I held on to all this tightness, what good is a stone to do, right? And so going into this, that how do we negotiate our story is by, and you know, the stone story, if we can just apply it to other things, everything's here to help us.
Yeah. The stone that I have, necklaces that I have from Gemisphere, they say that because they can draw dark energy out of us or negative energy. And so they, for cleaning, they have me put them in sea salt, like a bowl of sea salt. And the sea salt takes that, you know, kind of cleanses them of that energy before. Mm-hmm.
Putting them out underneath the moon. There's some stones that don't like water. There's some stones like calcite. If you put calcite in water, it's going to go away. Selenite. Selenite is another one that if I put this in water, I wouldn't have a knife. I wouldn't have the knife. So there's all these energies, but you know, it's one of those things that going into this, you know, having help to support us, that we have so much help out there.
We do. But on this, you know, so with the self-sabotaging, when I'm finding out that most clients, it's fear that they have of, you know, like I say, if it's like going for another job, it's a fear of rejection. A lot of times, you know, if it's like maybe they want to move forward. Let's say it's somebody that is not in a relationship and they want to like maybe go on online dating or something like that. You know, sometimes they put it off and put it off forever just because, again, it's about being vulnerable. If they meet somebody, all of a sudden that person is beginning to actually see who they are. And we're so sensitive sometimes about someone seeing us, you know, but that's inside, you know, that's what you really, really want. You know, you want to be in a relationship with someone that can see you for who you are, you know, without, you know, and it, like, I'm so lucky in the relationship I'm in now with Patty that I would say 90% anyway, there's always a little more that we're uncovering about each other. But what a good feeling to be with a partner that doesn't judge you, that, you know, kind of puts up with your little idiosyncrasies and, you know, and loves you for who you are.
Exactly. Especially, well, you guys have the luxury in the way, in some ways, is that even though you're a young relationship, you have elder years to kind of go with it. For me and my relationship, I have elder years of the relationship. to do the same thing, because I noticed that you know, lately we're having conversations that used to trigger us, sabotage us, you know, put us down the rabbit hole, go into victimhood, go into, you know, narcissistic moments, whatever it was, that it was just because of our old patterns, that we've been having conversation that if we trusted the process and we're trusting it more than we ever have, that it's been like, holy crap, we really got far on that conversation, didn't we? I mean, the key ones, money, sex, you know, relationships, you know, hearing each other, you know, all those really big, vulnerable places. But I'm done keeping myself back because of old story. And that's another thing that sabotages us a lot of times is that those old stories that we want to hold on to, or those old ideals, well, they did this to me 10 years ago and I'm not going to forgive them. Well, that idea almost sabotages the idea of moving forward. And that's where sometimes, you know, coming back to stones, that, you know, holding a stone during that time can distract your old self that's wanting to have that old story, that if you're rubbing it, it's like, wait a minute, I can move into the new knowing of this. And, you know, there's ways of negotiating these stories, you know, to kind of circle back around why the universe wanted us to talk about certain things, you know, that, you know, because I trust the process of conversation that, you know, it's like, even though it kind of goes up and down and in and out, but there's always a reason. There's always a reason why we go into a conversation. And I want to trust that process.
What I found for me for self-sabotaging, what works is the EFT or the tapping. You know, it's these different points that you tap, and what it does is it balances your energy. Like, maybe I told the story, I don't know, one of our other shows, but it was like, I wanted so much to write a book. You know, I wanted to write a book, and because it was like on my bucket list, you know, like how cool to actually write a book. And then, but I kept self-sabotage, kept finding other stuff to do, reasons why, and everything. And then I realized it was because of a lot of subconscious junk going on in my head. So what I did is I tapped on each individual thing. For instance, as I'm tapping, I'm going, okay, what makes you think you're smart enough, Regan? You know, I don't think I'm not really, my vocabulary, my everything, you know, I did bad in English in school. So what makes me think I can even write a book, you know? I said, but you know what? I love and accept myself. Maybe I can do this. I think I really want to do this. I don't know. And then another thing was like, who's going to want to read a book about something that I have an interest in, you know? So I had to tap on that, you know? And then, and the other one was, this was the big one that I uncovered from my subconscious. Regan, you never finish what you start.
Wow.
I sometimes think people, they self-sabotage themselves because they, something like that, like they go, well, I'm going to start this, but in my subconscious,
I'm not going to finish it.
You're not going to finish it. And then you're going to be more depressed than now. So why even start it? So I was like, even though I self-sabotage myself, and just because I think I never can finish anything. Oh my gosh. You know, I go, I love and accept myself, even though I never finish anything. And then, I went through three or four layers like that. The next day I just started on the computer to start. Like I said, okay, I'm just going to do an outline of a book. You know, I think I know I want to write this book, and I'm going to just run an outline of it. And I got going, and I didn't stop. I wrote three books and published them within about 8 or 9 months. I just couldn't stop. I'd write all night long sometimes, you know. And it's like the tapping just got rid of my, you know, it's me kind of vomiting out what my fears were and balancing my energy at the same time where I was stuck. And then it freed me up, you know, to do it. So people, if you go to my website, you can see two great videos on EFT on the traditional therapy side and also on Havening Touch, which we've been talking about here lately. Mm-hmm. So, and you learn those things. I mean, I can do a session for you on Zoom, even teach you the things, but it'll help you to get through the self-sabotaging, you know, or to kind of identify what it is that's holding you back. If you were talking,
because that's one thing that I've noticed is that language and what we tell ourselves, that's huge about how we move forward or we don't move forward. And, you know, and once we bring up those, you know, holy crap, I don't finish what I started. Well, that can run deep and through a lot of valleys and understandings of ourselves and doing those things. And, you know, like I had a girlfriend who, oh my gosh, she's my blessing. And, you know, she said, you know, do you realize how many times you say right in your videos and in your podcast? I went, ooh, right. Sometimes when I say the word right, there's a question, right? You know, sometimes it's very poignant, but sometimes it's like, wait a minute, am I giving my power away? Because I'm not trusting what's coming down through me. It took me about a week to really analyze how many times I was saying it. But once I stopped saying it, unless it was meant to be in that moment, that I've really kind of, it was almost a grounding aspect to me. And so those little stories of ourselves and what the universe, like I could have been triggered by her saying this, but I went, wait a minute, let me look at it. And that's the thing I hope that people can do right now is that they can say, let me look at this. Let me ask the questions, why am I triggered? Why am I in this story? What am I? Why am I not getting farther? And then the first things that pop in their head without any, you know, garbage attached, you know, because you're not a bad person. You're free from being a bad person. You're free from being lazy. You're free from all this stuff. Like if you have the story of being lazy, well, that whose story is lazy? It's okay to sit down and relax. I know that you know your wonderful other half here struggles with sitting down and relaxing, and she's starting to get better at it.
She's getting better at it. Yeah,
you know, and that's that part of that somewhere in someone's life, they probably were told that when you sit down, what are you doing being lazy?
Yeah.
Well, there again is that's a form of sabotage when you do not slow down enough to think. Part of moving forward is slowing down to think.
Yeah.
Slowing down to think about how you can move forward. I've started every morning, you know, and every night saying 5 words that are positive. I'm abundant. I'm free. I'm happy. I am excited. I am loving. I am kind. I am whatever it is, even if I know that I am, I'm saying those words because I want my mind to have something positive to think of first thing and when I go to bed. Because then what we think when we're sleeping, when we first go to sleep, that's what our body and our emotions and our spirit process through while we're sleeping.
Yeah. Well, you know, people don't realize too, you know, well, okay, I have a client when she was like 5 or 6 years old, her dad was helping her with her homework and she just couldn't quite understand it. And dad got frustrated and just yelled at her, says, "You're so stupid," to, you know, to her when she, "You're so stupid," says, "You'll never even go to college or anything." Well, just that one sentence she did when she was time for her to go to college, she thought to herself, "Well, I'm too stupid to go to college, so I'm not going," you know. But when we say things like that to ourselves, it has the same effect as if someone else said it to us. So
exactly.
We say, "Oh, stupid," or blah, 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 blah. You know, we've just told our outer self has told our subconscious that we're that way. And the if you say it with enough energy, your subconscious believes it, you know? So then, you know, so we have to really watch out for the self-talk. You helped me, I remember, Natasha, rephrase some things. And the one thing, I believe it was you, but it was something similar. It's like someone says, "Oh, I'll never know all this stuff," or something. And you says, and you say, well, you rephrase it. And you say, "Well, I don't know this stuff yet." You know, as it changes. Mm-hmm. In other words, I don't know it
yet.
Or
I'm on the journey of finding this out.
Yeah, I'm on the journey of finding this out. So maybe you're frustrated that you don't know it, but you don't. Even the words you say, you don't want to say, "I'm never going to know this." You just say, you know, "I don't have the information yet." You know,
"I don't have the information yet." And that's one thing that when my, you know, kids were growing up and they wanted something, I said, you know, "Well, I'll put that in the budget." Instead of saying, "I don't have the money for it," I would say, "Well, it's going to be put in the budget." And that's one thing that I read this book, Overcoming Under Earnings by Barbara Stanley.
Yes.
I love that book. And my book studies that two book studies that I did with it, they loved it. But that's one thing. There was one part in there about the naysayer. The wonderful naysayer, the naysayer of self and the naysayer of the world around us.
Yeah.
That could be family members, that can be a boss, that can be a sibling, that could be the TV, that could be whatever, the naysayer. And the naysayer likes to say, "You're not good enough."
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So going into that. See, I was going to say right, but I said, yep, you know, I moved on with it. So going into this, that when we're in this moment and going into this, that the naysayer, oh my gosh, what a propeller that is.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I was getting off track. That naysayer came in and said, are you sure you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of having the naysayer that I took as bringing me down, I decided to have that naysayer as the propeller to make sure that the propulsion, to make sure that I really wanted to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that we can have these things that come into our lives that sabotage us or perceive us to sabotage, but it's actually the universe making sure. So living with some people that were like, yeah, are you sure you can do that? You just challenged me to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm also looking at that, you know, how the sometimes a partner will say, are you sure you can cook that? Because they want us to cook it and they don't want to cook it. So you have to be careful about that game. But at the same time, though, you know, it's that, you know, yes, it's something that I'm called to do. Like one of the investors said, you know, why are you doing your business? And I said, it is my life calling. I could not do it. People have asked me, why do you post every day for, you know, 5 days a week? It's my calling to support people in their journey.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, you know, you shouldn't do it, it brings me back to saying, why am I doing it? Refocus into why I'm doing it. And so letting these sabotages, these outside things that keep us going, like your person that you said about going to college, what would she have said that, you know what? I was told once now I'm stupid. I was stupid. Guess what? I've just gone through 12 years of school. I've gone through 12 more years of life since that moment. I'm going to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
That naysayer, her dad at that time, planted seeds. We can pull out that root and that weed at any point in time.
Yeah.
We got to just give it that much energy.
You know, I'm just thinking too. We're talking about sabotage. We have self-sabotage, but then the other side of that is like, what happens and how do you handle it when somebody comes up and sabotages you? You know, you're going forward and someone pulls the rug out from under you, and you have to pull yourself up to move forward. And sometimes, for instance, if a let's say a child wants to be a musician, you know, and he go to college, he wants to be a music major or something, and maybe a parent or something like this, you know, won't finance them getting the instruments they need or something, because the parents don't want them to be a musician, because what kind of living are you going to make it that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People do that. We have people around in our life that don't want us to succeed in what we're really trying to do. But I think the only good thing about that is, I think the people that, when people sabotage them, but they work through that and get back on track, I mean, that really shows that they're doing what they, you know, what they want to do, you know, if they don't let anything stop them. But sometimes, here's a weird thing though, too. I have a client of mine who, he grew up in Nigeria, and ever since he was a kid, he wanted to be, a gynecologist. And he was going to grow up and be a gynecologist doctor. And so in Nigeria, he starts to medical school over there. But there were some people at the university. His father taught at the same university where he was going to school to try to mm-hmm. be a doctor. He had some enemies there. And the enemies made sure that he was sabotaged so that, you know, because to get back at the dad, they sabotaged his son, which was my client. So he couldn't get the right schooling. But he wanted to so bad, he said, well, I'm going to go to America then. So he found a way to get enrolled in medical school here in America. But he couldn't find a way to be a gynecologist. The only medical school he could be was in Oklahoma. And he had to settle for being a doctor, but he would be a podiatrist. So that's quite a disappointment for him. But he said, well, at least if I can't be a gynecologist, I'm going to at least be a doctor, you know.
Yeah.
So while he's in the lab, he worked to get some of his tuition. He worked in the medical lab where they were messing around with different chemicals and things. And he accidentally discovered something that heals wounds like about 5 times faster than Neosporin does. In other words, really works good. But so he becomes a doctor. He gets out. And he says, this is good enough. He submitted it to FDA to get FDA approval, and he got FDA approval on it. And then everybody's tried to sabotage him, you know, from getting it there. They said, no, you can't do this. This belongs to the school. The other people said, no, you used some of our money to try to do it, so now we own it. And he spent about 12 years in court fighting one person or another to...
Wow.
So he finally got that done about a year ago, 2 years ago now. So where the court said, nope, this is totally yours. And so he found somebody. But anyway, long story short, they just got a pharmaceutical company that's giving, buying him out for $1 billion, you know, and he gets $500 million of it. And the person that helped him distribute it gets $500 million. So now this is what's funny is, if that person in college had never sabotaged him, he would have never come to America, never invented that. And so
that there again, and I, so changing that sabotager to being called the naysayer.
Yeah.
You know, because a naysayer is a sabotager. A naysayer is a sabotager. But if you go in and you get that calling to do, and that's one thing that I want people to, if I can give them anything to look at, is the universe's path for us is never a straight line.
Yeah.
It is never a straight line. And if it is a straight line, hallelujah for you. Hallelujah for you. Because, I mean, everybody's path is different. Some paths are a little bit straighter. Some are a little bit more crookeder.
Yeah.
Because it's that journey of what do we are called to do. And like I told my husband the other day, or it was about a year ago, that, you know, I raised kids. I got him sober, helped him be sober. He got himself sober, but I had supported him being the wife, being sober. I supported this house in its journey. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn.
Yeah.
So there again is that, you know, that, you know, the path that I was meant to take was this other journey in getting, but I, in that journey, found me.
Yeah.
I, in that journey, found me. And without that journey, I wouldn't have found me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, that if this is the year, please, if you have a calling to do something, ask the questions. What if I did that? What if I wanted to do that? Put your feet in and live it. Put your feet in and live it. And that means metaphorically, that means spiritually, that means emotionally, that means sometimes physically. Sometimes we have to practice. You know, if you're called to open up a store and you really want to do it and the world makes it happen for you, open up the store. And if it doesn't quite make it, it's not a failure.
Yeah,
it was something that was for a building block for your personal path. Now, maybe another year from then, you get a partner that you open up a store with, and they know things you don't know.
Yeah,
they're your yin for yang. They're you know they're that inner and the you know, whatever it is that going into this, that the universe fills up. Because I can tell you right now in my business, I have someone who's doing like my YouTube and getting me on shows, and she's handling that part of things that I can sabotage because I just don't get to them. And then I have a friend who's doing my editing for my website, for my now the shows, you know, is coming out and my newsletters. And without them too,
Yeah. And that's the thing when people go into business and they want to have total control. But when they think of the smart thing, a lot of times is realizing that they can't do everything, you know, and for success, they have to learn to give up control to have somebody help them. And that kind of was forced on me too, with this, in a good way, with this new website, because I'm doing everything myself and everything. And then someone just pops in here, and I'm so glad that I allowed somebody to help me make some changes, you know, that way.
Well, that, what a blessing that is, because I know that that can be kind of pricey. But, you know, at the same time, though, it's like, thank you for getting it done for me. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Now, as a life coach, either of us, maybe you would think, what do you think about this, too? And a lot of times when people self-sabotage themselves, it's because they know that the thing that they need to do, there's going to be too many steps to get there. They're going to have to do like 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 things to get there. And it just seems overwhelming when you look at everything there is to do. So what I usually have them do is just break it down into tiny pieces that are, you know,
little steps,
10 things, you know, get everything down to 10 steps. And then just think about, instead of all this change you have to do, just think about the one thing you have to do. And when you get that done, then just go to number two. That helps me so much. Like right here where I'm at today, I'm with a client of mine at her storage. And I worked with her for 2 days last trip to LA, and now I'm working with her this trip. It's when we first opened the storage thing, big, it's like 12 by 20 foot long, just packed with stuff. Can't even get in.
Geez. Yes.
And I thought, okay, just concentrate. I have to just move these boxes first here to get these out of the way, and then I'll do the next part. And once I started doing that, it's going along pretty good. But man, right at first, when you look at that, you just want to go, okay, see you later.
Exactly. And I know for me, you know, since I just changed my my domain name, you know, from one domain name to another, yeah, which I wanted to keep my website. I love my website. Things need to change in it. But it's not the time to do that change, but yeah, it's time to change the domain over. And that's been the gift of doing this, but it was like, yes, it was big. It's still big. It's still not all the way followed all the way through yet. But at the same time though, pieces are pieces. And right, like me having Natasha Venter Angelic Clarifications, you know, well, I'd forgotten about that little piece. Oh, well. I'm not going to let that sabotage me by holding on. Well, you forgot everything. You forgot this. You forgot that. I'm not going to sabotage myself that way. I'm going to come in and go, ah, my new website is now Intuitive Clarification. So just put where there's angelic, just put intuitive. Yep. You know, because that's the thing is that we're all human and we put so much perfectionism into our world that we need to be perfect. And no, we don't need to be. If I can give it, breathe first, because that's a form of sabotage too, is when we're going in and trying to be perfect. Yeah. Nobody is perfect.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like some people, perfection is a disorder, you know. Excellence, striving for excellence is the best thing to do. You know, like in, they say in Academy Awards, they don't give Academy Award for the perfect motion picture. It's the excellence in filmmaking, you know, there's something that's excellent. So it's funny. It's just a shift of words, but when you go from, oh, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to just do an excellent job on this, I'm not going to do a perfect job on it, because perfect never comes. And, actually, I think when you try to do something perfect, you're putting some sort of negative energy into that project instead of just going, I'm just going to do this the most excellent way I can. Mm-hmm. You know, that's more light. And that's where more, I think, more positive, good energy goes into your projects, you know.
Exactly. Well, I would think that perfectionism is almost a naysayer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a naysayer of our world that, you know, you can't do this. You're not going to be good enough doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. You're never going to be perfect at it, you know? Yeah. It's like golf. I golfed a couple of times on the way down here to LA, and it was really fun. I was just doing mediocre though, you know, and I was talking to this young man that I was playing with, oh my gosh, he would hit the ball as far as any pro does on tour, you know, when he's hitting his drives. But he really was really bad when in his short game, you know, putting was really bad in that. But he was saying he just loved this game because you never get perfect at it. You know, you never get even the pros, they have their good days, their bad days. None of them not that good. So, you know, you're just out there to hit as many good shots as you can. So I would say that with people, you know, in life, you know, just strive to do everything with excellence that you do in life. And you're going to be a lot happier for sure.
Exactly. And that's one thing that, you know, we wove our way through this conversation. And I'm hoping that we weaved enough of this sabotaging action of interaction. Yeah. This is the thing that I want people to remember, that this information is very light. It's on top. If you want to get in deeper, if you want to know more about how you personally are sabotaging yourself, I've had people who sit down with me and they go, Natasha, how did you get this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this in my life to make it all come into one, to make sense of, oh, that's why I'm not getting what I want. Oh, that's why I'm having a hard time making that decision. Or, oh, this isn't happening very well. You know, so these are just really light conversations about how the world is triggering us to find our sabotaging moments, to awaken that we can go beyond them.
Yeah,
we can go beyond what we think. We can go beyond what we've been taught. We can go beyond what we've heard growing up. We can go beyond all these things. And this is the time in our world. Oh my gosh, we're coming into, we just had the spring fall equinox. We're coming into an eclipse. We're also moving into Aries energy here, which is basically the fire sign. Then we're going to have, we're having a full moon, I think. And then we're having Easter. And then we're going to be having Mercury in retrograde, April Fool's Day. And then we're having a full eclipse. The sun, because the moon is a partial eclipse. The sun is going to be a full eclipse because you have to have a partial eclipse with the full moon, right? So it's a full moon, partial eclipse. Then we're going to have the eclipse. And then we're going to be heading into, by then, April. And then there's going to be other things going on. But if I can give anybody any information, the triggers you're getting, the emotional rabbit holes that we get put into, look at them and say, why am I here? Oh, this doesn't feel very good. But ooh, like the other day, I was really upset, almost threw my phone across the house because I was so upset because my email, I couldn't log into my new email. But what I did was I said, stop, Natasha. The last time you got this angry, you blew a hole in the aura of your house. Yes, houses have auras. I had to seal that one up quickly. And then I got up, went to the bathroom, took a couple deep breaths, came back, and I asked the energy to work with me. And guess what? I found my way.
Yeah.
Perfectly imperfect, I found my way. And I even messaged my kid who said, you'd be so proud of your mother. This, I finally did something for myself. I did it myself. And that's the thing about life is that now I can say, wow, but those triggers, those sabotagers, technology is a big sabotager for me. I'm working through it.
Yeah.
I'm working through it. And what are we going to do about it? And that's what I'm inviting that we can all do with this world of ours that we're going into. We can go down a rabbit hole and sit and go, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
But that's not what the universe wants us to do.
No, that's for sure.
And if I can say this something real quick.
Yeah.
Your guide, his name is Xavier. No,
Mine?
Yeah.
Rebazar.
Your guide Rebazar behind you. I mean, he's strong and he's smiling down on you that you have you're in the retirement age. You are far from retiring.
I'm finding that out.
And he is saying actually that you're going to find more and more balance.
Okay, that's what I'm striving
with your schedule, but you need to start listening more.
Listening to,
let's say, you know, like you're making an appointment and you go, oh yeah, I can do that. But then you're feeling that energy sinking down for that day.
Okay.
Listen to those energy influxations.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad. Well, thank you for seeing that, because that's right what I'm going through now. Because in case anybody sees this, who's seen this today, it's in the LA area. I'm doing another talk at Soul Search in Burbank. I forget what hotel it's in, but anybody just looks up Soul Search.
Congratulations.
I did one last week, and I had the room was full, you know, people standing even. And I had so many people that want to do these life between life sessions, you know, visit the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm having to pace
yourself.
And then if I don't get to some of them, okay, I don't get to some of them. I can try to refer them to somebody or something, but.
Well, and that's the thing is that you do ask that they find their way. And that's the trick. That's the trick, because we can't be everything for everyone. And that's another sabotager.
Yeah.
We can't be everything for everything, because at the same time, then who are we for ourselves? And if we get tired, you know, doing this spiritual walk, you know, it's like I'm now marking out one weekend a month just to give myself a time, and or two weekends a month, just because I want to go dancing that Friday night and I want to be my better for my clients. Right. So coming into this, though, you know, he's saying that though, when you make an appointment, check in. Now, if you say 10 o'clock and you feel the energy sink.
Yeah.
Ask, should I go 11? And then if you feel that energy coming up.
Okay.
It might not be the day. It might not be that you're wrong on the day, but you may be wrong on the time.
Okay.
And then you need to do on the other side, if I can give this to you, go to bed earlier.
Okay.
Even if you're sitting there, even if you're just sitting there reading, you're in bed resting.
Yeah. That's something I've been struggling with for a long time. You know, just staying up and being a zombie, you know, when I should be getting more.
I call it going into no man's land.
Yeah. So I went, I did good last night because I knew I had to get up tonight. And then I have to leave. I'm going to be moving some of her son's, some furniture she's given her son. He doesn't get off till like 9 or 10. So he's coming over. I'm taking it over. I'm going to unload it there. So around midnight tonight, then I have to drive 110 miles and I'll sleep in my Sprinter van. But I made the appointment for 11 tomorrow instead of early. So I should be able to get 7 or 8. And then I'm doing 2 sessions in one day, where the husband and wife, and then their daughter the next day. I'm going to spend the night with them. And they're all three going to heaven for my husband and wife tonight, and then the daughter tomorrow. So, and then I got to leave there and drive to LA 100 miles and do the thing on Saturday. But then I have a day off on Sunday, and a client coming from about 100 miles away down to LA here to have a session on Monday. So, but then I got a few days off, so it'll be good.
Well, take that for whatever you can use with it. He wanted me to tell you, he's been sitting up there going,
he's that way.
So I had to say it. So there's a reading for you, for everyone. If they're looking for how I do sessions, that's how I do it, with a smile on my face and the cleaner I can. So with this, that I want people to remember, you know, we're at that time, and boy, this was a weavy conversation that we had about sabotage. But remember that if you want something a little bit more, Regan Forston, oh my gosh, I had a session with you and I loved the grace that you gave and the kindness that you had and everything that was going on with that. And then I love to do that work too. So
there of us, we work as these life coaches to help you step to get through, you know, what you're sabotaging. To both of us really work on techniques to help you, to give you more self-love, because that's what we all do. You can't love yourself too much, you know.
No.
We have a lot of good techniques that we can give you to just to begin to see yourself as perfectly imperfect, and that you can really do anything you put your mind to, you know.
It takes stepping into fear. It takes stepping into a lot of things. Now, there's some things that are harder to step into, quitting a job, moving a relationship, all those things. But if we play the what if game and we step into that life, then that can help us move forward. So, Regan, how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, thank you. Visit theafterlife.com, brand new website. There's probably 14 videos on there for different things that a lot of information there about how, you know, about this process, about if you want to visit the afterlife, and we're doing as many on Zoom as we're doing in person now. So it doesn't matter where in the world you are. If you're seeing this podcast and you want to spend a couple hours in the afterlife in full consciousness, let me, you know, go to the website and get a hold of me. And even traditional therapy, if you've have some trauma that you haven't been able to shake, no sense carrying around anymore, because we have some techniques that will get rid of that and just free you up to help you to kind of be the best you can be. And
that's what this new spiritual awakening that everybody's talking about is, becoming a cleaner version of ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're going to be unclean. It's not that we're dirty, but there's my reading yesterday that I had, because I need readings too, that I, was told that, there is this darkness that's kind of just whispering around some of the decisions I'm making. So now that I know about that darkness, yes, I've been wondering what it was. Now I can say, thank you. And I'm asking for healing with you. Thank you for supporting me. Now I'm asking for healing on you, with you on this journey. And so cleaning ourselves up, getting ourselves, it's like going through the rainbow shower, finding that love for ourselves and know that we can accomplish something, even if it's not necessarily a straight line, like the doctor, it's not always a straight line.
Yeah.
So, and thank you, Regan, for being here. I am so grateful. You are actually on my first show of Intuitive Clarifications with Natasha.
Yes.
Please try opening up yourself to new knowings and in the life that we're living.
So just so everybody knows, because right yet again, if they tuned in late, where it says angelic clarifications, it's now intuitive.
Intuitive clarifications. That's one thing I didn't check off the box to do.
Yeah. Clarifications. So, but even if they type in Natasha Venter on Facebook or something, they can get a hold of you or reach you, right?
Yes, exactly. And then also my social media has changed. Instead of Natasha Venter AC, it's now Natasha Venter IC.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that funny? Intuitive Clarifications turned into IC.
Yeah.
Natasha Venter IC. I just, that's a ha-ha that the universe is laughing.
I know. All right. I got my client's waiting for me to go back into storage to help her out. So I will see you next month.
Yeah, in the month of April here. Have a happy Easter, everyone. If you believe in that or not, it is a doorway of energy for love. Jesus wants you to know that you are so loved. My next show next week, I'm not too sure yet what I'll be talking about, but it will be probably about this energy coming into Mercury in retrograde and this energy that we're working through to get a more positive aspect out of it, because we can get really bogged down by this energy. But thank you, Regan, for being here with you. You can find me at intuitiveclarifications.com, Natasha Venter. Love to support you in this life journey of yours. So if you're wanting more information about what we talked about that was just general conversation, my ear is ringing. Bring it down into the understanding. And we want to give this into your personal journey of how you can do better.
Yeah.
I got to check in. Is there a message for them? It's time to love yourself, is what they want you to know.
Okay.
Blessings, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm post Monday through Friday, short little videos about inspirational posts. Blessings, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you, Veronica, for saying it's an awesome show. Appreciate you.